Hello and welcome to Shoes Off, No Cap, a podcast where we talk about all things dance. Today we have Amirul Hafiz, or more famously known as Peon. He's a huge mainstay in our local dance scene. Peon is an absolute monster of a dancer, winning many titles in the past 3 years at such a young age. In 2019, he placed champion at the Judgment Day World Dance Games qualifier round and then proceeded to represent Malaysia at the World Dance Games in China. He ended up top 8, which is no small feat considering that a lot of the best dancers in Asia competed as well. In this episode, he dives in deep about his early days b-boying after school, how he met his Beat My Boys crewmates, as well as his secret to conquering battles. So, for all you freestylers and battle addicts out there, you are gonna love this one. Sit back, relax, and let's talk about dance battles with No Cap. Okay, hello Peon, how are you?
What's up guys, how y'all doing?
We're good,
we're super duper good. We miss your classes. Dance in person. Before we start with anything, right, can you give us a brief lowdown, throwdown on like how the name Peon came to be?
I mean, it's something, I must say, that it's pretty unique myself when I get that name. So technically, it was just a mixture of Pendek and Ketot. When I was standard 4, my original nickname was Petot because obviously it's Pendek and Ketot, right? So that kind of makes sense with Petot. But by time, people were like, Petot sounds like some weird-ass nickname for someone who's short, you know? And then they call me Peot. It sounds like, oh, it sounds nicer. And then my friends just started calling me Peot. So yeah, I just stick to the name till now.
So it's a short form for Pendek and Ketot.
Okay. Yeah.
So when you like, let's say like when you go out, for example, like on a date or something, like, do you introduce yourself as Amirul or do you introduce yourself as Peot? Yeah, what do you do? Like, what do you use?
To be honest, usually it's been Peot lah, to be honest.
Okay.
For the longest time it's been Peot because I feel like Amirul is just sounds like a very cute boy. I'm a very cute Melayu boy, you know. But Peot sounds like, wah, Peot.
How about if you meet like professionals, I don't know, like in a networking session on LinkedIn?
I still, for the longest time, I still use Peot. Because I guess it's like my identity as well. And it's like, if they go to my Instagram or my social, they still see Peot more than Amirul. Yeah, for the longest time, I've been using Peot.
For our listeners who are not really very familiar with who you are, can you just fill them in?
What's up, guys? Again, so my name is Peot. I am 23 years old. I've been dancing for about 11 to 12 years. Currently, I'm a hip-hop teacher, freestyler, go to battles frequently. At the same time, I'm just trying to find my way, path in my life, because I'm almost graduating my degree at the end of the year. So yeah, so I'm just looking forward to what the future holds for me in the future. Yeah.
What's your degree?
Yeah.
Especially in broadcasting, mass communication, basically.
A full degree. Yay.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm surviving.
I mean, it's hard enough to like survive degree just by doing the degree.
Yeah. It was insane, but yeah, I'm excited to finish it all by the end of the year.
How did you get started in dance?
Okay, so technically it was just from school. It was 2010. It sounds like those normal dancer stories, but it's a talent show. My school made a talent show for like all classes. So basically all classes, at least there's 4 groups in the class that needs to be participating in the competition. And technically I was like, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to act. Or I'm not going to write poems and some stuff. So I just told my friend, let's just dance that, because I guess that's it. At the same time, it's like shuffling is a thing at that time, and a lot of the techno stuff is still at that time. So I'm like, why don't we just go ahead and try? Because we're not going to sing and do anything else. So yeah, so I decided to just dance for the competition. But mainly for the competition, like, I have no interest in dance before, except I kind of learned a few of like Chinese choreography to Lucifer. And
Ring Ding Dong.
Yeah, I started to learn like moves from K-pop music videos way before the dance competition. So at that time, I was like, oh, you know, all the moves and leg footworks and everything seems really cool. So yeah, I just got to start learning for fun. And then we went for the competition. And then after that, then I met my crews and everything. So yeah, but mainly that's how I started, like basically at school.
Wait, did you guys win or not?
Unfortunately, we won second place, but like,
unfortunately,
second place for something. That's not bad.
That's not bad, guys.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. Because no kids at second place, you know. But okay, like we lost to like a traditional group and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, like, you know, school is so we understand all the traditional roles. Win.
You know what I realized? Like all of like most of you guys, like boys, started out dancing like with K-pop mostly.
Oh, for real, man.
I don't know.
Just want to be cool, man.
You know, it's a real deal. Yeah, I remember. Right. I still remember like the first ever like routine I learned from Chinese Lucifer. The wavy hand going up
and then with the slight tuts in the middle.
Yeah.
All of us would know that choreo.
Yeah.
Amazing K-pop. How much influence K-pop has. At what point did you meet your crew?
So technically, after the year that we won second place, that was like standard six. So it's like, I mean, next year, we're transferring to high school. So during that break, the normal bulan 12 punya break, I decided to join the champion team, which is a traditional team for their like training session and some stuff. They are like random school holiday training sessions. Apparently, one of the members in the traditional group was a member of Walawe. And he started to do all this, you know, breaking. He started to do like handstands and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that looks pretty dope. Yeah, as soon as I try out all that and then I figure out I don't have interest in that, you know, traditional dances. Yeah, I started to learn all these handstands and all the dangerous breaking moves. And then he decided to like, oh, you know, why not just come and meet my crew, like, you know. Walawe at that time was, I mean, not to say they were like really, really good, but they were doing like some moves that I cannot do at all. It's like a higher level than like whoever I met at that time. And then after that, I met them at Istana Budaya. I have no talent in acting or singing or whatsoever, but at that time Istana Budaya had some like Upin Ipin musical audition or something. So I technically went for the audition to just meet Walawe the reason, and I just went there and embarrassed myself singing and everything, knowing that I actually cannot do all that. But yeah, so I met them at Istana Budaya because Walawe, they are based from kids' musical from Istana Budaya. So they're all like actors, they're all singers. So Walawe was born in Istana Budaya.
Who was the founder of Walawe?
Founder was Nick. There's a street. Nick, Najib and Anas. He was like, the earliest Walawe crew members. Yeah, and then I met them for a while. After that, I just went out with them a couple weeks to just kind of dance with them every once a week, like, only on Saturday. And especially when I was still in high school, obviously when we all form one, like none of our parents will allow us to like go outside from our house or like 5 or 7 kilometers away. Yeah, just kind of, I'm sorry, mom, but I just kind of, you know, I lied to her a lot of times to kind of go and meet them. It was right. It was like, I told my mom, I have like sessions with the traditional groups. But in the end, I took a cab alone and took trains to go and meet them because I stay in Cheras and they stay in Sentul. Mm. So yeah, I would like take cabs, take trains to like go and see them. But obviously at that time my mom didn't know everything. My mom obviously know everything now too, so everyone do not like your mom. But
you did it yourself.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta pay my way too. You know, my mom won't let me see them. But after a couple of weeks, just kind of go and hang out with them. I feel like Walawe will always be like my forever crew lah, because the moment we started, it wasn't like a dance session all the time. It was just like hanging out, go and watch movies or some stuff. And then if we have time, then we go together and dance and some stuff like that. You know? So that's like how I kind of started out with Walawe lah, since the beginning.
At what point like you join or founded Beat My Boys?
So Walawe, after we won Showdown 2013, and then right after that, at that time I was the youngest. I was 15 and most of them are like 17, 18, and obviously they were like SPM and then some of them are going to college and stuff, so they don't have like much time to dance anymore. So I was like, snap, if I do not do anything now, I might be one of them too, you know. I might, you know, stop dancing and stuff like that. But I don't know why, but I decided to join D2M. I don't know if most of your dancers on this competition called Dare to Move as One Parade. Last time, it was like kind of like one of the biggest competition like every year. Go and join battle for some reason. I'm like, why the hell am I doing this? But yeah, I decided to join because I felt like if I don't do this, I might stop dancing because all of my brothers are obviously not going to take dance as their career anymore. So yeah, I went for that battle. And then after that, I just felt like, oh, this battle feel is quite mesmerizing. It's quite addicting. You know, you just, after you go one battle and then you just want to go more, you just want to go more, you just want to go more.
So was that like love at first sight?
Yeah, that was love at first sight. Dare to Move 2016, that was like my first love of battling. But yeah, and then after that, it's for 2-3 years. And then I kind of saw these two Melayu boys. It's very rare. At that time, it was very, very rare to see like Malay boys or Malay girls go for battles and dance like really good, you know? Yeah. And especially because at that time, it was still like Chinese was taking over the battles like real crazy. They were like, still today, Chinese are still like one of the best, you know, battlers in the country. So, and then I saw these two boys, I'm like, oh, who the hell are these boys, man? I mean, obviously, when you don't know them, always like, good Melayu boys. And then I remember one time I went to Penang Batu Jam alone. So I came really like for last time whenever battles I'll come like before the registration counter even opened. So I went there, the mall was still closed. I'm alone. And then I went to registration counter and still closed. And then I just kind of sit at the side. And I'm like, what the hell I'm doing here early in the morning? And then after that, these two Melayu boys just came and I was like, oh shit, you know, are you alone? I'm like, come and hang out with us lah. So I'm like, oh man, this is, you know, it's nice lah, because at that time, again, it's very intimidating when you're someone new in the battle scene. It's like, especially if it's like, you don't know much people yet. So I'm like, obviously, I don't know much people. I don't have much friends, like, or any other like battle friends or freestyle friends. So yeah, they came to me like, oh, let's just hang out with us lah, you know, don't have to be alone. So yeah, so we hang out the whole day during the battle, the whole day we hang out together and stuff like that. And then after that, Bae was just like, if you're free, come to Klang and we, you know, we dance together. I'm like, Klang, I live in Cheras, and say, come session at Klang. I'm like, okay. I'll come to Klang one day. And then I remember the next day, they called me, you want to come to Klang? I'm like, okay. And then next day I went to session with them at Klang. And yeah, since from there, I think it's been just, these two boys are special for me, you know, because once we dance together, it's just something magical. And then after that, we just kind of knew that if we don't do something out, us three, it's kind of waste. And then after that, we just formed Beat My Boys in 2016. Yeah.
Why the name Beat My Boys?
Beat My Boys. Okay. So at first it was inspired by Beat Buddy Boy and Beat Soldier from Japan. Yeah, their hip hop crew. But then Bae was like, why the hell we want to put Beat My, you know, because some of the name we thought was like Groovers, Bouncy Boys. And we were like, what the fuck? That doesn't sound right. We were like, I mean, Beat My, you know, Beat My Boys. I don't know. And Bae was like, Beat My Boys. I'm like, does that sound like Beat Buddy Boy, Beat Soldier? And like, technically, the whole meaning was, there's two meanings behind Beat My Boys. One is, if you want to beat me, you got to beat my boys. And the other one is Beat My Boys. My is Malaysia, so Beat Malaysia Boys.
Wait, yeah. I just want to say, like, that was like that's the first time I heard like three Malay boys come early to an event. Like, not Malaysian timing.
Yeah, it was good times. That's
our secret.
We will come even before the mall is open. Usually all the battles start, like registration will open at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Obviously, malls are opening at 10 a.m. They were like, we'll come at 9:45. The mall is not open yet. We'll find food to eat and some stuff like that. But yeah, as some old time events. Events now are a little bit different, but yeah, good times. That was good times. I mean, it's true, don't you know?
Yeah, it's true, right? For registration early, Malay boys, yeah, you know, right?
It's unheard
of. Unheard of, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had any like strong or close mentors when you were still, I mean, I know that we're all still dance students, right? Yeah. We're all students in dance, but like, have you had like any strong or close mentors when you first started out?
Technically, to be honest, with whoever I know in the dance scene, pretty much is like the people that made me who I am today. Because I started with Walawi was the beginning of my journey. And then because of them too, I met like the earliest people that I met was Buje, Abang Mimi, Abang Lilo. I met Abang Farouk, I met Faz, I met Steph, I met Sharul. I met a lot of people, you know. I feel like most of the people in the dance scene, I kind of know everyone in the dance scene, especially like the older generation, because technically I grew up with them throughout my whole dance journey until to the point in like 2016 that I told you guys that I was like going for like solo battles and stuff. Yep. So that was like, not to say my end of journey with them, but that was like my farewell to them. They have been everything to me for the past like 3 to 5 years at that time. So like this time I'm going to go and try to, you know, explore a little bit of all the back scene or like kind of meet new people and stuff like that. But yeah, like the names I said just now, technically everyone, to be honest, like whoever I know, especially the old generations, because even when I was younger, I did a lot of shows with them. You know, we went like road trip for like shows and like sometimes we go competitions. I'm quite lucky to meet the older generations at that time. I was like, I think I was still like 13 or 14. So I was like still pretty young. Yeah, I was still pretty young. And they were like probably at their prime time at that time. So I was lucky to be able to watch their prime time at, you know, during the era. And I was lucky enough that I was around them a lot for like shows and everything. So technically, like, we don't really have like crazy, you know, training sessions and stuff like that. But because I hang out with them too, like so much, and I kind of do shows like so much. And they were the reason of like why I'm here too. And like, I can say I don't have like a specific mentor, but all of them play a huge role in my dance journey.
How did you manage to carve out your time for this? Because I mean, school takes up the entire day.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if like you're in uni, you know, you have like some specific pockets of free time that you can do all these things. Yeah. And also like, how do you carve out your time for that? And most importantly, how do you manage to convince your mom to let you do this?
it's a nice story. Again, I was lucky enough to start my dance career when I was in high school, because in high school, we don't have Sekolah Agama anymore. During primary school, in the morning, we go to Sekolah Agama, and then petang, then we go to Sekolah Kebangsaan. And then in high school, there's no more Sekolah Agama. It's either Sekolah Kebangsaan in petang or in the morning. So my school, when I was form 1 to form 3, form 1 to form 2, our school session will be petang, and then form 3 to form 5. Everything is in the morning. I mean, I started kind of professionally, really professionally, when I was form 2 lah. Because form 1, I was still like kind of, it was still new. So I wasn't like out there so much training and everything. It was just at school. But when I was form 2, then I suddenly, you know, Malawi just like, oh, you know, let's do shows and some stuff like that. So I was like, oh, I got school tomorrow. And but it was like, I mean, you know, training at night and then you have time in the morning to rest and then you go school petang lah. So yes, when I was form 2, all the sessions and everything will be at night. So technically after I finish school about 6 or 7, I'll go and meet them around 9 or something to practice everything. And obviously train stations close at 12. So I will run to the train station at like 12. I'll take a train back home and then I'll take a cab from the LRT station nearby my house to my house. So technically last time, my mom, it wasn't too hard for me to kind of do my thing, because whatever, like my traveling and everything, I kind of go by myself. You know, I go take cabs and trains and whatever. So my mom won't like, you ask me to go send to this place, send to this place. So she felt, you know, like, oh, she, what the hell is he trying to do? I guess my mom was lucky that I was going all by myself, taking cabs and everything, so that she won't like, you know, need to send me all over the place. But that was like my schedule at that time. And then once I went form 3, that was the year of mom, dad is going to be my thing, you know, because after I won Showdown, my mom was there. Obviously, my family was there. So, I mean, they saw us winning. They saw Walawi was winning Showdown. I mean, if we on ATV Showdown on TV and you won in front of all this 20,000 to 30,000 people, of course, you know, my mom was like, okay, you know, at least she sees like why I was out like the whole time when I was in form 2. Now after that, I guess once I kind of with Walawi the whole time, I just kind of like, if I got school, I'll go to school. But if I have training at night, I'll go training at night. But then I was still not going to skip school. It's just, how to say, I guess when you kind of just want to do something, you make time to do it. I don't really have time management in school because, again, your school is in the morning and then after that, you have a lot of things to do. And obviously, you have homeworks and stuff like that. I mean, come to school in the morning, just kind of copy people's homework. Yeah, that's some dirty work. But yeah, that was how my journey was when I was in school.
When you were like, you said you were training, were you like training like on the street or a basketball court or something? Or were you training like in a studio?
Oh yeah, last time we would train under a flat called Naro. Kid in Sentul. That was like our spot. Yeah, it was just like a parking lot. It was just like a motorcycle parking lot. I mean, like normal flat lah. Kan ada macam motor punya parking lot and kat bawah flat tu. So that was our training spot lah until like, even after we won showdown, we kind of train there until I guess everyone just kind of, I guess everyone just is on their way to becoming an adult. Yeah, and then after that, around 2016-17, then we started to like, do studios and stuff.
Di sekolah mana ya dulu?
My school is SMK, Bandar Tun Sri On 2, Ceras.
I have a question, right? Like, how do you know what to train? And like, who taught you guys?
I mean, earlier days while we was trained by Abang Mon from Little Better Crew, that was like the earliest day. That was like when they were like pure breakers. They were like b-boying all day. But then when they recruited a lot of people, then we started to focus a little bit more on the showcase and all the, you know, all the formation showcase kind of stuff. So yeah, so whenever we train together, it's because last time Najib will always be the head of a piece. So he will decide on the song, he will decide on the formations, he will decide on the visuals and everything. And even most of the choreo, he kind of do it, you know, by himself. But at the same time, you know, if you felt like, oh, okay, we kind of can change this part, we can kind of just make this a little bit better, then it's like, oh, okay, like, then it will be a crew improvement kind of thing. But usually last time, like, the head will always be Najib. Whenever we come to train, sometimes that session will come and just b-boying and stuff because we, like, our bass is breaking. Mm-hmm. So all of us, yeah, all of us were breakers last time. So yeah, we'll come and just, you know, b-boying and just kind of session for about 1-2 hours. And then after that, we're going to lepak as himself. But some training, sometimes Najib will have like, oh, you know, I want to try this. So let's just make this piece and then we'll just try it out. Just in case if there's any competition in the future, then we don't have to like think a piece or whatever that we have to do because we have a lot of piece that we have done during training sessions last time. So yeah, but mostly our training session is like that lah, with Walawi lah, for about like 3-4 years. Yeah, and then after that, I guess again, once everyone was adulting, then we kind of just come together and, you know, chill. Or probably if one person got a choreo to teach to everyone, then we teach to everyone. If everyone just want to have fun and like do some random stuff during the session, then we'll do it. But yeah, but that's like how the earlier days and a little bit forward with the days that we done like, yeah.
That's so cool. So good. So street.
Yeah, Walawi was, Walawi was like a street crew lah. We were,
yeah.
Because we based as a breaker, so it's quite a journey lah with Walawi, yeah.
When was your first time like you stepped into a studio for a class?
Oh, studio in a class. I still remember that time. It was 2016.
Okay.
During my battleground. Yeah, it was when I was still in Battleground 2016. I've never been in a dance class before, ever in my life.
Mm.
And Yuki was like, hey, let's go to Kim's class. I know Kim's super busy. I'm like, let's go to Kim's class because Yuki was based in Passion Dance Studio last time. He's like, let's come and learn hip hop lah. Because at that time I was with Beat My Boys already, and I was obviously I was like into hip hop at that time. So like, come with me to class. And I'm like, Yuki, you know that I've never been to a class before, so I'm a little bit nervous to actually just step in the studio and like and go learn from someone. And then yeah, and that was my first ever class that I took from Kim Superbism hip hop class at Passion Dance Studio in 2016. It was terrifying. I'm like, is this how it feels like to take a class?
Now you're teaching classes.
it's crazy.
Do you remember your first class that you taught?
My first class that I taught, I think I was replacing John's class.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where is this? Mustang. Yeah. Oh my God. It was probably that class that I joined.
It was so long ago. At the same time, when I was in Battleground, I was considered as an urban dancer like at that time. I wasn't like a fully hip hop guy yet. I was still like into all this, you know, urban style and a lot of choreographies. So John was like, hey, you want to replace my class? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, John? I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, bro, you can do urban. I'm like, okay. And then, yeah, I think the first ever class I replaced was John's class. Yeah.
He taught the song, the Skywalker.
God, that's in my mind.
That
was my first class I ever went from yours.
Oh, snap, man.
Yeah. You think same. Oh,
yeah, I still remember it until today for some reason.
I'm like, man, that was like, I'm like, shit. I used to teach a freaking choreography class. And I'm like, holy snap.
Yeah, I came for John and then I was like, oh, this John looks really Melayu.
Just want to like touch one more thing on like training. During your school days, it was like a set kind of timing. Can you check out sekolah and then nighttime training? How is it right now, especially like when you're schooling, you know, in uni and all that? How do you make time to practice in your like college schedule?
So there's been like changes on my like training schedule when I was in diploma and degree, because when I was in diploma, I studied in Rembau, and then for my degree, I'm at Shah Alam, so it's a little bit near. So in Rembau last time, I will always have only one training per week, which is Friday, because my class will be packed from like Monday to Thursday. So Friday, so I will go back on Thursday, and then Friday I go to train. And then obviously it just keeps on rotating for about like, I think 2 years and a half diploma. So it's just been one day per week, which is Friday, except there's like holidays and everything. Like if holidays, then I'll probably go like twice or three times a week. But when I was in degree, when I was in Shah Alam for about like 2 years and a half, it's always just been Wednesday and Thursday. So it's just 2 days of training, and then Monday and Friday I'll teach classes. So technically it was like my body kind of moved for like probably about four times a week, but the training and the intense training session is always twice a week, which is like Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah. So that's like how my schedule has been when I started studying until like now. Yeah.
So you don't dance every day.
Nah, I don't dance every day. Yeah, because I think, like, I mean, this is personally for me. Like, I mean, everyone's different. Because for me, if I dance every single day, my brain gets drained. And whenever I practice, I struggle because I don't have anything left in my brain, because I've been dancing a lot of times and I've been dancing like every single day. So for me, twice a week, but twice a week, like Wednesday, I will like train for like 4 to 5 hours. And then Thursday is about like 3 to 4 hours. So the two days is the like really, really, really training day. And then the rest of the day, I would just like watch like videos or, you know, go out and with my friends and everything. So just kind of let my brain and my body rest a little bit. And then once I go to training, then I would let it all go. Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of people, they have like this misconception about like, oh, training has to be like really structured. And then you have these people like, you know, Beon, who can outdance like, I don't know, almost everyone in the country, you know? And his training has been like helter-skelter everywhere. And he still makes it work, you know?
Yeah, this misconception comes from, you know how they say like, you have to just do it every day, become a habit kind of thing. 10,000 hours kind of thing. But sometimes it's effective. It's like you do one or two days for like several hours.
Yeah, because for me, it's good for your body and your mind. You don't go every single day and like, you know, once you go every single day, it's like, let's say like you're writing on yourself. I feel like if I were to write every single day, I would be like, snap, I do not have anything in my mind to write about anymore, because I feel like I've been writing a lot of stuff every single day. So, and especially for us dancers, because we're using our body as well. And of course, we need like some recovery time, you know, we need some rest. Yeah, I mean, like different dancers got like different ways of how they train.
Because sometimes it's the things that you do out of dance that make your dance improve as well.
It's all about your lifestyle. And your mind too. I feel like the mind is very important when you dance. Yeah, you gotta make sure that your mind is not just about dance 24 hours, you know.
Let's move on to talk about dance battles. Yeah, jing, jing, jing. So yeah, we really wanted to get you on this show because of your experience in dance battles. We have talked to JL before this as well. He's very, very deep into battling as well, but he sees himself more as a freestyler, you know, like he describes himself like someone who likes to use dance just to express himself. So we just wanted to see, you know, like when you go to the doctor, you want a second opinion, right? So we wanted to have a second opinion as well, Dr. Peon, you know? Yeah, so I don't know how you see yourself, you know, but to a lot of us, you are like super well known for winning like either champion or top three in a lot of dance battles in the past few years.
Do you want me to list down the...
Okay, yeah, yes, please, list them down.
Okay, just like quickly.
Oh
yeah.
My God, man.
Okay, Southeast Asia Hip Hop Pageant 2021, the recent one. What's up, Doc 2020? World Dance Games, Southeast Asia Qualifier 2019. That was like Judgment Day. Who is the champion? Volume 6, Style in Motion, Volume 5, What's Up Dot, Volume 2, Shut Up and Dance 2019, and then like a bit older ones, W Club Powell Champion and Showdown. Yeah. Damn.
The big question is, you know, how did you do it? You know, what's your preparation leading to the battles, man?
I think like the only one word that I can give when I was kind of recentering myself and I was thinking about it, like how the hell did I do all that, you know, for the past couple of years? I feel like experience is the number one thing, especially when I was very, very lucky when I started battling. All my opponents were veterans at that time. Because the early days of my battle days, I would go against like Teddy, I would go against Alex, I would go against Kim, I would go against Jackson, I would go against all these freaking top-notch freestylers at that time. So I was like, obviously I just started and I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm gonna beat them in the battle at all, you know. But because of that, you know, I was able to learn that, you know, because I went against these veterans, I kind of learned a lot on how to like kind of strategize how I dance in battles. So last time when I battle, I would always check myself back. I will look at my videos. I will look again. Oh, why am I like this? Why am I like that? What am I doing wrong? And some stuff like that. So earlier days, when I watched myself, obviously like the number one thing is my foundation. I was at the same time, I didn't have a specific style that I want to battle. And I don't have any specific goal when I'm battling. And then after I kind of found hip hop, the only thing I did was always checking on how calm I could be whenever I go battles. That's like the only thing I will always check. Am I calm enough in this battle? I check back. No. Okay. Then I'll try it for the next battle. Am I calm enough in this battle? Nah. Okay. I'll try again in the next battle. That goal, whenever I go to battles at that time, to keep myself a little bit calm. Because last time when I go to battles, I was just like, yeah. I was just like spam the whole thing. Especially if, like whether the song is slow or the song is fast. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to show you what I got. But throughout the experience, I managed to learn to kind of strategize how do I keep myself calm in battles at that time. And then time by time, I kind of started to like, oh, I'm going to top 8, I'm going to top 4, I'm going to finals. And I remember the first ever final I got to was Shut Up and Dance. I think I was against a popper named Juice. So I was like, when I was in final, I'm like, shit, I'm in the finals. I'm actually here. And I think I lost that battle. But I'm like, when I watch back all my videos on the day of the battle itself, I'm like, oh shit, you know, I can see myself that I'm a little bit more calmer than how I am last time. And to be more specific, it's not the calm of like, I'm dancing very slow or like flowy. Nah. It's like, I didn't rush into my rounds whenever I dance. I don't go straight away into it and just kind of spam everything. I was just kind of like, wait for a while. I'll listen to music for a while and then I'm going. I achieved this already. What's the next step should I do for my next battle? Because I kind of know how to like keep it to myself for a while. After that, I just kind of work on a lot of my foundations. I still kind of work on my foundations because at that time I was still like a little bit sloppy. Yeah, I work on my foundations and at the same time, I was still in college. So I think this is some deep stuff. This is where the mental game came like for me. Yeah. I think when I was in college, obviously when you're in college, you meet new people. It's not your school friends or whatever. I was lucky enough to have like very supportive friends, and especially like not as like non-dance friends, you know, they were supporting me a lot. And when I was in college, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go head back to KL because I need to go train. And I'm like, okay, you know, go train and we wish you all the best and stuff like that. So I feel like mentally I'm like, oh shit, you know, this is some new support transporting energy from a human being to a human being. One night, I was joining a dance battle in a club at Vibes and stuff, but there's like qualifiers for you to go for to the finals. So I think it was like about five, six weeks qualifier, and then there's like the grand final. So the first qualifier, I lost to Darren Ong, that guy. At that time, my foundation was, I mean, not to say top notch, but I kind of get my body already. Obviously, I dance a lot, so my calmness was already there. I lost to him. I'm like, I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some. And then I have no idea what happened. The day before I went to the grand final, I stayed up late night with my friends at college, like 5, 6 a.m. before we went to class at 8.
Nice.
So we were just sitting down and my friend was like, you got to take it back home tomorrow. You know, you got to win this. And I'm like, oh, snap. That's like, it coming from my friends, it's kind of touching for me, because it's like, oh snap, my school friends would never, you know, say things like this. So I feel like coming from someone that I barely know, we kind of just know each other for 1 year, so it's kind of like, oh. And surprisingly, I don't know, I went to that battle that night and I was just popping off, man. I got lucky, I won the whole thing. And then yeah, after that, it was just human experience, like, to be honest. And especially, I mean, this might be off topic, but I guess it's going like the whole, it's like the whole story of like how, I guess, how I did it, especially to like where I am now. After that, I guess I just kind of go to battles a lot, just kind of gain a little bit of experience, you know, to kind of know my body a little bit, go for classes, train and stuff like that. Until I went for classes at Bebo. It's quite surprising, you know, like some one freestyler who went for Bebo dance. And I think that was the change of the, not to say younger Peot, I mean, I'm still 23, but like that was like the Peot in the cocoon is about to become
metamorphosis.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When I went to Bebo dance, that was like my, how say that, switch. So I kind of went there, took a couple classes. Obviously, I took my first grind class. I was like, holy shit, Peot is doing grind class in front of a lot of girls. And I'm like, snap, I'm a freestyler and like I don't dance that much, you know. So I went and experienced all that. That was like in a dance form experience, like it wasn't like a battle thing anymore. And then I remember one night, maybe was doing like a men and grind thing. It was like I remember all of them in a room were non-dancers. And it's just, I think it's just me and Darren was like dancers there. I remember it wasn't like a dance class, like it was more like a human being connecting class kind of stuff. Yeah. And then I realized that inside the class, there's like pregnant women, there's someone who battled cancer, there's like human beings are inside there. At the end, they had a cypher. They had a cypher for like non-dancers. So I'm like, this is interesting, you know? Yeah, and then I saw them like dancing and everything. I'm like, holy shit, this is what dance was supposed to be, you know? That was like the first time I kind of see like dance is movements to express things that you can express with words. So yeah, so I kind of cried after I watched a pregnant woman dance her heart out. I saw like some more better cancer dance her heart out. It's just something that's a new experience for me, like as a human being. After that experience, my mind was more to like dance. It's no longer a competition for me. Like last time, I always go for competition and stuff, but for me, at that time, I was like, this is what dance is, you know, and I feel like this is what I was supposed to do more than I was supposed to compete a lot of times and stuff like that, you know. And after that, everything is history, man. It's all about experience. And I feel like for battlers out there, I feel like it's the more you're connected to yourself, it's like the more things that you discover, yeah.
I guess it's what Izzah said just now, like it's the experiences outside of dance that make you grow as a dancer.
Yeah, it's always that, yeah.
Yeah, from your explanation just now, it's like I picked out like 4 recipes to be really good in dance. So like foundation, being calm, support system, and like social interaction, I would say.
Yeah.
Foundation is, okay, it's straightforward. You go to class and you learn. I was wondering, like, how do you keep calm? Like, especially during that battle moment. And, you know, like during battles, like heating up. So how do you just like keep that, calmness?
I think the main important thing is, first, you got to be confident. In battle, you got to be confident no matter what. It's like, once you have the fear and once you're scared of your opponent, you're never going to be able to calm yourself because there's so much thing going in your mind. They're like, oh shit, you know, this guy is good. This guy is, you know, this guy is high level or, you know, oh shit, I'm going to lose. So that will take away like the calmness in your mind for you to kind of go and dance or battle or whatever. So I feel like that's like for the past few years, that is what my mind, what I've been always thinking whenever I go battles. First things first, I just gotta be confident. Like, whoever I face, like, I don't care if he's, I mean, not to say like I'm being disrespectful, but I'm like, I don't care if you're a veteran, or I don't care if you have like 20 years of experience or whatever. This is battle and we're just gonna finish it here. You know, if I lose, okay, it's okay. You know, if I lose, I lose. If I win, but at the end of the day, I just gotta make sure that I fear no man or I fear no woman in whenever I battle, because fear is like the thing that you need to avoid whenever you go battles. It's like if you go war and then like you want to go and slash someone's head, but then you're scared. Obviously, they're going to slash your head first before anything happens, right? So yeah, so that's like the first thing in my mind. Whenever I go battle, I got to be confident. And the second thing is, I will always think about my friends first before I go to battle. I will think about my friends, I will think about my family during like either before or during the battle or before I go into like the floor and like dance. I always think my family, I always think my friends, my crewmates, and then I go in, because I feel like it reminds me of why I'm doing this, why the hell I'm battling right now. You know, if it's not because of them, I'm not gonna be here. So when I think of them, it kind of calms me down in a way. Yeah, I mean, if you just kind of just throwing out your family, throwing out your mom or whatever, you feel like, oh, your headspace is not everywhere. You know, your headspace is not all about the battle that is going on. It's like just you trying to like keep yourself, you know, maintain the calm and yourself to just kind of like, okay, you know, I'm ready to go in this battle. That's like the things that kind of helped me throughout the years, or that helped me for the past couple of years, especially because for the past 2-3 years, I think I've been battling with like, I mean, I'm like, shit, I don't know how, but I guess God just sent me like the craziest dances in the world to them. Battle with me, I'm like, oh snap, I gotta take a rest. The main thing was confidence for me, like with family, but the confidence was the main thing that kind of helped me went through like all battles I've been through. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of answered my like next question about like family and friends, because like always in your appreciation post after you win a battle, again, you like give thanks to God, your family, your crewmates, your good friends. So yeah, it's important for you. Like they're very important for you.
And
I guess like you're lucky that you have a good support system. Like not many people are very lucky. So
yeah, I am very lucky. Indeed, to be honest, yeah, especially like for the younger ones who want to try battle, I feel like they should fear no one whenever they battle. And I believe it's something powerful, you know, when you have that confidence. And I mean, obviously, if you go for your first battle, of course, you're not gonna like, I got the power. It's quite scary whenever you go like first time or second time, but time by time, I guess if you just kind of try to set your mind like, okay, when I go to battle, I'm just gonna give my best. At the same time, I need to be confident whatever I'm doing in the dance floor, because if not, I feel like fear, you can sense fear whenever someone is showing it. Now when I go to battles, I mean, I'm not trying to sound cocky, but I can smell fear coming from them whenever they battle like me or like whoever they're battling with, because when you fear someone, it shows through your body language as well. And yeah, so I guess for whoever want to battle out there, just gotta be confident. Just believe that you are you and everyone is watching and everyone came for a battle to watch you being you, you know?
Were you always confident?
Not the earlier days. Not to say too. I think I was not like 100% confident, but I think whenever I go to battles, I'm like, okay, you know? Because I remember when I was battling Teddy, I was like, that was only my second or my third battle in my life. And I went against Teddy and I'm like, y'all gave me Teddy on my third battle. I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? But I remember when I was preparing to go and battle her, I'm like, I mean, you know, it's do or die, like, you know, if I keep myself or I just, you know, just kind of stay in my cocoon and not trying to like prove what I can do, then it's like no point of the judges giving you the opportunity to pass the audition. So yeah, I didn't have like the craziest confidence ever, but I had a little bit of confidence at that time. And then time by time, I guess, again, going through a lot of veterans just kind of helped me to gain my confidence a lot too.
But like to pass the audition round point, like you really have to already be kind of strong.
Ooh, it's the scariest thing, man. Audition is the scariest thing in the whole entire world. ESSA is the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, your foundation has to be really on point though, I think.
That's number one too, yeah.
You said that you just have to be confident whenever you do anything dance related. You just have to be confident in yourself and your own abilities. Do you get your confidence from yourself, or do you get your confidence from the support that you get from your family or friends?
Mostly, to be honest, it's all the people around me. And I think I've been always telling, you know, dancers this, but whenever you go for like trainings or sessions, just make sure you want to start with your friends first, because they are the one who kind of support you in whatever you're doing. And like, of course, when you dance with your friends, you should support your friends. I feel like that energy coming from your friends by them supporting you during sessions or training sessions, we kind of boost up the confidence a little bit more. Because if you go, like, let's say suddenly I ask like someone new to dance, hey, come and session with me now. Obviously, they were like, he or she will be dancing on the floor. Obviously, everyone was not going to support because like he or she is kind of new, you know. That will smush that person, because whenever it feels like whenever they're dancing, like, oh, no one is supporting me. Am I doing something wrong? Am I not doing good or some shit like that? So it's important for dancers to always dance with your friends a lot before you go to like the more serious session. Because like for my journey, it's always just been my friends, my crewmates, because they have been like the most, you know, supportive people in the whole entire world. And other than that, I think it's always like looking at other influences as well. Because for me, I take influences from like a lot of like Conor McGregor or LeBron James and stuff like that, because they're athletes with really, I mean, if you watch their story, it's like inspiring, like inspiring stories and their confidence and how they went through with their careers and everything like that. So that kind of helped me a lot too. For my confidence, mostly throughout my journey, is all the people around me, all my friends, my family, and whoever has been in my dance journey. Like, yeah,
that is kind of true. I just wanted to add on that, like, I don't think I would ever go this far in dance if it weren't for like my friends and people who supported me as well. I mean, I think like a lot of dancers starting out, like, we didn't really have very supportive parents.
Yeah.
So that's why we didn't do it when we were younger. Yes. We only started doing it once we were like, you know, like quote unquote adults. So yeah, I just wanted to like, you know, feel gratitude for my own friends as well, since you were talking about like how much positivity and how much influence your friends and family have held on your dance.
Let's go, friends.
Let's go.
I have another like question. Like, do you meditate or do like breath work or anything like that?
Yeah, I think once I realized that dance wasn't just like movements at that time, and then I think I started, because, okay, I'm just going to be honest, because I guess we Malays, we grew up with, I mean, not to say strict religion, but our religion kind of like restrict us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But after that, I kind of opened up my mind a little bit, that all those, you know, energies and all this a little bit off, like, if, you know, if you're Muslim, then it's like, if you percaya, it's like people will say like, all this shit is not real and some stuff like that. But I feel like that was the reason why I kind of like grew a little bit more too, because I started to like meditate a little bit more. I do like stretches or yogas in the morning, and then I kind of like read a lot of those energy based stories and stuff like that, with all the, you know, nature and because I feel like that's like, that's important for us to, you know, especially when we like creatives, because if we, our inspiration comes from just, I would say, watching someone moves, I don't think it's gonna give like a lot. I feel like the energy from someone is the reason why we receive something, the energy from the surrounding, the energy from here and there, and stuff like that. So I feel like that's important as well, like, for us dancers to acknowledge that these kind of like spiritual, not to say spiritual life, but this kind of like, yeah, spiritual things kind of can help you open up a little bit more, you know, to the world and stuff like that. So
I agree, because like we like forget that Prophet Muhammad used to like meditate. So it is like, I mean, it's not a woo-woo thing, because it's real. Energy is real. It's wavelengths. It's frequency. It's science. So it's just like tapping that, our inner energy. I really believe that it works, like, for me personally, growing in dance, because like I've been like practicing like meditation, breath work for the past couple of years, past couple of years, and like I realized that it really helped me in my dance a lot.
That's good for you.
And like, yeah, my freestyle, I felt more confident. So like I know my own body right now. Like,
That's nice.
I feel you. Yeah, I get you. I really get you. So like I'm waiting for the next battle.
She's so ready for you, Peon. You know, like, one day you're going to face each other in the round.
Let's go.
She's not going to give you a chance, man.
Let's go.
All right. That's all for this episode. But don't worry. We'll be back next week with Peon breaking down the history, elements, and principles of hip-hop. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next one. Till then, take care, stay safe, and keep dancing.